Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and returning today with me are
Jimmy Seatman,
Jaded Dennis.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing swell.
Doing swell.
Yeah, doing good. Doing
the typical. All right, let's get right into it. We got a busy show for you, like always. We last left off with the Yankees and Luis Severino and Stanton, and now Aaron Judge, a part of the injury history for the New York Yankees. They keep going down. Obviously, Judge will miss opening day. Stanton, his diagnosis a little more updated. He will be out until May. Severino already down for the year. We talked about how this wouldn't affect them last time. Now, with the updated prognosis of Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, Jaden, will this affect the Yankees?
I mean, Stanton will be back in May, so we really go a full month without actually having the full lineup, the full depth lineup that everybody was looking forward to seeing from opening day. With Judge, I think we're just going to have to take it one day at a time. I mean, he's already out for opening day, but it's still a developing story, so we really kind of got to see how far he actually stays out. More so because we don't really know too much now. We just know he's missing opening day. I mean, the Yankees are still, they still have one of the better lineups in baseball, even without those two. I mean, once Stan comes back, he was never really a hit for average type of player. He brings home runs. He brings marquee value. Aaron Judge, sometimes he could be both. Sometimes he goes cold. But I guess the intimidation factor of having him in your lineup really decreases the overall standard of the lineup when the both of them are out, me personally.
I don't think it affects them that much. And when you think about it, you realize that they aren't really – if you look at the same team, all the guys they missed from last year in Stanton and Severino pretty much most of the year – they basically have the same team they had last year for the most part.
Right.
Just now they have Gerrit Cole. Now, do I think they'll have the exact same luck? No. But is this still a really, really good team? Yes. I think they'll get Judd somewhat back in like mid to late April. It's always iffy with these kind of things when it's not like, oh, they'll be back. They'll just be reevaluated then. They still have just a really, really good lineup. They have like just a lot of guys who can fill in roles. Like someone like a Mike Ford type guy who hit
right.
really well for them
right.
last season, he'll be able to step in. They just they have a lot of really good hitters. They have a really deep bullpen. I'm not necessarily worried about them. Are they going to get off to some fantastic start? Who knows? I think they face a relatively easy schedule early in the season.
They have Baltimore opening day here.
Yeah, so that's
know that.
It's a nice little sweep.
I actually may go to that.
It's a nice sweep.
I will be in Cleveland for the Tigers Indians opening day instead.
That's better.
Will
they sell it out?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one game they'll sell out.
they won't sell it out.
I think the Yankees are going to be fine.
They're not selling it out.
Opening day?
Who?
Yes, they will.
I don't
Indians,
think.
Yeah,
I don't,
yes, they will.
I don't think
the Orioles are going to.
Of course, the Orioles are going to.
It's
people pay to go see the Yankees.
It's opening day. Every game sells out opening day unless you're the Chicago White Sox. Every single
it is amazing.
Matter.
How
we'll just
cheap
have to see.
White Sox tickets are.
Isn't it insane?
If you were White Sox, I'd go to all games because even the Orioles tickets aren't like that cheap for how
right.
bad they're. But let's get back to it. The Yankees, I think they'll be fine at the end of the day. Now, I do think that I think the Rays are always going to be competitive in the division, especially basically since they've started bullpenning. Their record is in comparison to the Yankees almost exactly the same.
Right.
Right.
I think the Red Sox are being slept on a little bit to the fact that they can be better than some people think if they get some bounce back seasons from some guys who weren't as good last year, you know, and Andrew Benintendi and Eduardo Rodriguez. But we saw this last year with the Yankees. They're going to be fine. Judge, when he has been healthy, has basically been one of the most productive players in baseball.
Right.
Even with Stanton last year in like 80 at bats, he hit like 270 with over 400 on base percentage.
Yeah.
For a guy who was rusty. I think sometimes we do really forget how good Stanton is, especially in this lineup. But the Yankees at the end of the day are going to be fine. I'm not too worried about them. They're built for this. They have a lot of depth. If this were any other team, it would be a big issue. But I think the Yankees and the Dodgers are the two teams that can withstand injuries like this.
Right. I will agree with you on that. I think the Yankees will be just fine. However, I do think the gap is closing a little between Tampa Bay and New York just because of the injuries. Like, I still think New York will win the division? Yes, absolutely. However, Tampa Bay, I still think people are sleeping on Tampa Bay. Like you mentioned, I mean, you're probably the biggest fan out of everyone in terms of the bullpenning.
Yeah.
I mean, Blake Snell's in that rotation. Charlie Morton, great pitcher in that rotation. They're getting Glasnow back, who's my sleeper Cy Young candidate. They're going to have
a lot of depth.
So. Ryan Yarbrough, mm-hmm. I'm a big Ryan Yarbrough fan. And they're always going to bring other guys up that we never heard of that will just be up. That's the Tampa Bay Rays way of doing it. So I think Tampa Bay, will they close the gap? Yes. But I do think the Yankees, with that lineup, like you said, the ability to fill in Mike Ford in the outfield, Talkman will easily fill in there. They still have Brett Gardner. Aaron Hicks will be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it a great outfield? No.
They have, but they have.
Is it enough to beat good the enough.
They have, they have a professional lineup, and I think we talked about this before, but the AL is still very top-heavy versus bottom-heavy. There's still a lot of teams who the Yankees, like, were the Yankees 17-2 versus the Orioles last year?
Yes.
Yes.
Only the Indians, I'm saying this, only the Indians versus the Tigers had a better individual record at 18-1.
I think that's going to probably stay similar. It probably won't be as bad because it almost never is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees hit an absurd amount of home runs. But their lineup still is probably one of the better even without Judge and Stanton.
Yeah.
When you consider that they have an incredible hitting shortstop in Gleyber Torres, they have a really good hitting catcher in Gary Sanchez, who has, he's doing something different with his pitch framing this year, which is interesting. They're gonna be fine. If it continues during the entire season again, then you're like,
right. Yeah, then you have.
Then
to
you're
be
like,
a little,
okay, how do you have the same luck as last year? I think the Blue Jays are slightly better too.
Yeah,
and the AL is probably slightly better when you consider that the White Sox are trying this year. The Angels have made improvements. The Rangers, I think, are going to be a little bit better. It's still very much Astros, Yankees.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And at least the Indians and the Twins are going to be competitive no matter what you think about them.
Right.
So, but I think they're going to be fine at the end of the day. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if they can withstand the kind of injuries they went through last year. I think that was unprecedented.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd also throw Tampa Bay in there as well as a contender and Oakland as well. I think Oakland's going to be very dangerous.
Oakland's
going to
be really, just one quick thing on Tampa Bay. I really think they traded for Jose Martinez to be their DH. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have a really, really good year this year. I think first time in his career actually getting regular bats, not having to play the outfield.
Right.
He can hit. So I think
no one doubted his ability. Anyone who doubted his ability.
It'll be interesting to see him get like 600 at bats. Like, he's someone I'm really interested in for like fantasy purposes or something like that.
Yeah, that will be very. He will be very fun to watch. I'm also a big Yandy Diaz fan as well. That's another guy.
I know you are. Hey, he has one of the hardest hit rates in all of baseball.
Yeah. Trade him for free, pretty much. So
it's not like the Indians need good right-handed batters.
I mean, no. I mean, Domingo Santana's like batting below 100 in spring.
Hold on, before we move on, have you guys seen Chris Davis has got on base in every single plate appearance in spring training so far? He also put on like 30 pounds.
Are you serious?
But he did, because he said he dropped down to like 210 last year because of like stress and anxiety. And so maybe it's just, you know how some guys, like, you need to lose weight. So maybe he just feels more comfortable.
I mean, I wouldn't chalk it up as that, but.
But you know what? Whatever, because I think everything with Chris Davis is mental at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
It's mental.
Most
so, like,
definitely.
Whatever makes you feel more comfortable, maybe it's not the best for long-term sustainability, but.
I haven't looked at him, but does he actually look fat?
He looks like muscular.
Like, he looks muscular?
Yeah, he looks muscular.
Well, I mean
he's already a big dude.
Yeah, he's already a big dude at, like, what, 6'3"?
6'3", 6'4". And I think he said he hadn't been under, like, 215 since high school. So the fact that he dropped below that. I think it would be a good success story. Do I think it means anything? No. But if he can at least, like, not chase after terrible pitches, because the one thing he always could do was get walks.
Right.
Walks and home runs.
And he no matter what you think about Chris Davis, he's one of the best first basemen in terms of defense in the MLB.
Oh, yeah.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, that's something I will give him. All right, let's move to Tom Brady. The saga continues with Tom Brady. 8 teams interested in Tom Brady. 4 would sign him right now. Those teams are obviously going to be undisclosed as the ESPN report. Tom Brady also caught FaceTiming Mike Vrabel at a Syracuse, North Carolina game on Saturday. Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Titans.
Tampering.
It's not tampering at all.
I know it's not tampering. They're probably just friends. I love it.
Former teammates, Mike Vrabel and Tom Brady. What do we make of all this Tom Brady? Mr. Patriot. I can't believe I just said that. Jaden.
So
Tom Brady, where is he going to play next year?
I'm still at odds because a part of me wants him to finish as a Patriot. I mean, you see him with them for all these years. Why are you so upset? You look so upset.
It's boring. I don't want to see him on the Patriots.
You don't want to see him on the Patriots?
No. I want action. He's already done enough with New England.
Who cares? Let him finish there.
So but do you think he stays with New England?
No.
Gun to your head. Okay.
I do not think he stays in New England. I think the bridge was kind of burned. I think he still remembers the whole Jimmy G situation. Mm-hmm. I personally think that Coach Belichick wants to go with a younger quarterback. I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have run its course, and they're both trying to prove the critics wrong. You know, can Brady win without Belichick? Can Belichick win without Brady? You know, everybody wants to see it. That would be the best marquee value of anything in the NFL. I mean, to be honest with you, depending on, let's say Brady goes to the Chargers. Chargers and the Patriots are going to meet at some point during the season. If they meet, I'm going to tell you, that game is going to sell out instantly.
And ratings.
The ratings are going to be, the ratings might hit like,
so you
I wouldn't
think
say Super
so
Bowl
So you think
level,
Brady's going to be a Charger?
I think he's either going to be a Charger, but I wouldn't count out the possibility of him going to the Niners.
I was going to bring that up. I saw the whole like
the
with
Tom
the trade, Jimmy
report.
G,
yeah.
for Tom Brady back. That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Please.
I hate to see it. But
now here's the thing. Now if the 49ers last year would have gotten to the playoffs and Jimmy G crapped the bed against the Vikings and they lost,
right?
Maybe you could see. But I think
the 49ers, I'm just going to say it, they would be a idiotic to get Tom Brady, that'd be an idiotic move.
I thought that would be stupid. It wouldn't make sense.
I'd rather have Jimmy
personally.
G moving forward. Even if I think Tom Brady's still a little bit better right now, I think it's going to be the Titans. I think they're in a position where I think they know what they got out of Ryan Tannehill last season. They know that
his
5 or 6 game stretch where he was really, really good. Now, I actually like Ryan Tannehill more than other people. I think he kind of was always dealt a bad hand in Miami. But I don't think they want to pay him the kind of money that he's going to want. And I think they think they're in a window to win right now. Now, is that true? I don't necessarily know because the unprecedented kind of running game they had in the playoffs, and they were just a 9-7 team last year. This wasn't a team that was really dominant and had some games where they could look really good. I don't know if this is necessarily the best team there because you look at their weapons, it's not the greatest thing in the world, and their defense is good, but it's not a great defense. But I think as far as a team that needs a quarterback who Brady would want to go play for, who maybe Brady looks at and says, hey, they made the AFC Championship game last year. Now, the problem is even if he goes there, I still think the Chiefs, I still think the Ravens, and I still think, at minimum, the Texans are probably better teams next year, even with that case. So, but it'll be interesting. I still think there's a chance it goes back to New England because I think this could also be a play of Tom Brady saying, you guys need to get me real weapons.
Right.
I can't. The days of me just being able to turn undrafted receivers into good players are over at this point. And he knows what the Patriots. They still have a really, really, really good defense. And they're always at least going to be successful. So it's really hard. I don't know if I would choose the field or the Patriots. I probably would choose the field at this point.
But I'd say 60 field, 40
Yeah,
Patriots.
Probably at this point. But you know, we've seen in the last week or two that reports are like, hey, this is actually a real possibility. When a couple months ago, it was, you know, or maybe right after they lost to the Titans, you sat there and said to yourself, he's probably going to be back.
Right.
But I do think it'll be interesting to see what the Patriots would do if Tom Brady left.
So I think Tom Brady will still stay. I would differ from you guys. If you said Patriots are the field, I would take the Patriots. I think this is all. I continue to say this. Jimmy knows this very well. It's a smokescreen. It's a lot of hoopla, and Jimmy hit a nail on the coffin with, yes, I want more weapons. I'm also going to throw this out there. We don't know what the CBA is for the NFL next year. Bill Belichick's not going to do something stupid where he locks himself into Brady without, and then the CBA all of a sudden completely changes.
What's going to change in the CBA that's going to affect that? Because he can't get franchise tagged.
No.
Right. Yes, that's true, but also the amount of money that will be spent.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we already the cap is already set for this year. So, I mean, unless
right, but now, is Brady going to take a 1 year deal?
No.
He's probably going to take a 2 year deal.
He's going to take a 2 year deal.
But I wouldn't imagine, like, I mean, the only thing that I can see in the new CBA is that if the players got to that 48 or 49%, the salary cap would take a little bit of a jump as far as gambling money. If anything, I don't see any projections going down, which is what you're afraid of with cap stuff. I don't know. I think right now, I think the Patriots are exploring all their options.
Oh, I think they are too.
Which is what they do with everything else.
I've already thought this. I think the Patriots are going to draft Jacob Eason at the end of the first round. Ugh. I know you are not a fan of that.
I
think he is the prototypical Patriots type quarterback that Josh McDaniels likes.
Guy from Auburn.
Jarrett Stidham's not the answer. Let's be real.
But the other domino that people aren't talking about is that Brady wants to play again with Antonio Brown. People have been throwing that out there. So it's like, another reason why I don't think he'll stay with the Patriots, because Antonio Brown already burned the bridge with the Patriots.
Antonio Brown's going to play another snap in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely.
He's
too talented not to. He comes back right now. He's a top five receiver.
I wouldn't say he's top five.
Yeah, he's top five. He's top five.
We can debate the top five later. Antonio Brown's an absolute head case.
Oh, absolutely.
If anyone wanted to deal with Antonio Brown, honestly, shame on you. Shame on you if you want Antonio Brown on your team. He's either mentally ill, has some CTE, which is very possible with the Vontaze Burfict, or he's one of the worst human beings alive.
Could be a mixture of both.
I've told you this story before, and I'll tell you. When he was at Central Michigan, he was one of the most productive receivers in college football history.
Yep.
And he went in the sixth round because people would ask his coaches, this guy, Antonio, should we draft this guy? And all of his coaches, everyone associated with him, were like, you shouldn't draft this guy. He's a terrible person. I mean, that's why he fell to the sixth round.
Right.
He's always kind of been a jerk. A jerk. That's the right word for it on this radio station. I will say at this point, teams have always shown, with talent, you're willing to put up with a certain amount. I think the big thing is these sexual assault cases have to be settled or go away. Because if they're not, it's always, that was the thing, I think, especially with the Patriots, where they were like, look, we can't deal with this.
And he's still on the exempt list anyway.
Yeah.
Until the cases are resolved.
Yeah, and so, but we've shown, it'll be interesting to see if anyone would take a chance on him. I think it would be one of those. He's not going to be signed by a team until late August or something. If he is, someone goes down with an injury,
right?
What T.O. did a couple times in his career, something toward the end. So I don't know. But who do you guys think, if the Patriots don't bring back Tom Brady, veteran QB wise, because I don't think they'd roll with. Just even if they drafted someone, they wouldn't roll with just
no. Yeah. They wouldn't.
So who would be? Who do you think they would go after for veteran quarterback wise?
I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking Philip Rivers, but I don't think they'll go with Philip Rivers. I don't know what it is. I just don't honestly think they'll go for Philip Rivers. But I do think that they would trade for Andy Dalton.
I think that'd be interesting.
I think they would trade for Andy Dalton.
Like a buy low. Patriots are always about buying
exactly.
Low. What about you?
That's what I was going to go. I was going to go Dalton. Andy Dalton as well. I also will say this. You're going to laugh at me for this. Don't rule out the pot. You know where I'm going. Don't rule out the possibility of Nick Foles ending up there. And then they can just cut him loose, obviously, next year once his guarantees are up.
I mean, if he has another season like the season he had with the Eagles, then,
that's a problem. He doesn't have a lot of those.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Who wouldn't love him?
I think I told you this.
Super Bowl.
I told you.
No, it is.
I told you this one. I think buy, the Patriots are always about buying low. They're all about value. I don't think they want to go pay Teddy Bridgewater $25 million.
Oh, no.
So I think the guy that they would go after, and if they a younger guy at least, if they're going to bridge quarterback route, would be Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota.
Somebody who has – the one thing he always hasn't done, hasn't turned the ball over. Bill Belichick would like that. Quiet, Patriot way kind of guy. And somebody they wouldn't have to pay an obscene amount of money. Which is what I think they're going to be looking at here. I don't think they want to go Philip Rivers because I don't think they want to go older, and I don't think they want to, you know, pay a guy like Bridgewater. And so if they had to get a veteran guy that wasn't, I would say Marcus Mariota. But that's kind of just a guess.
This will never happen. But the guy I would love the Patriots to get, this will never happen. It will never happen. I would love to see Jameis Winston with the Patriots. It will never happen. I get it.
The thing with Jameis Winston is that. He's such a good quarterback. He just has a bad turnover rate.
Incredibly bad.
It's just so bad.
Historically bad.
If he was able to cut the turnover rate down by 50%.
Well, that, I mean, that's a huge number.
That's
but,
it.
But I think the hard thing with Jameis is if you try to cut off a lot of the turnovers, you're cutting off the way he plays and how he's successful.
Yeah.
Which can mentally screw you up.
Right.
I mean, Jameis is a guy who plays like he doesn't like he takes shots, and you get rewarded for that sometimes. There's a reason the Bucks had the number one passing offense in the league, the reason they had 2,000-yard receivers. It's a reward and risk thing. Yeah, it's easy to say, hey, if you just cut out this amount, but it's probably harder to do that than it is to just, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to change the way you play.
All right, so let's do a quick. We've already done this before, but let's do a quick rapid fire QB carousel. Who's gonna go where? No explanation. Just give me a team. I'll give you a name. You tell me where he goes. Quick, fast, in a hurry. Tom Brady goes to
Chargers.
Titans.
Patriots. Philip Rivers.
Just gonna throw it out there. Oakland.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, just gonna throw it out there. Oh, you're right.
Colts.
I agree. Colts. Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Come back to me. Let me think.
Browns.
You're joking. You did that to taunt me.
No, I didn't. I think they need a backup quarterback, and he's cheaper than Nick Foles is.
That will not. You know how much he's gonna cost? They're not going to give up a third-round pick for Jacoby Brissett.
I don't think he's going to cost a third-round pick.
Then I'd do that. I think Jacoby Brissett will stay as a backup in Indianapolis.
I say he might go to the Saints as a backup.
It's not bad.
Possible. Teddy Bridgewater.
I say Teddy goes to the Titans.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers is already rumbling.
Oh, I agree. My God. Tampa Bay, that's where I think he's going to go as well. Jameis.
Stays. He's not going anywhere.
He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's not going.
Really?
He's not going anywhere, neither is Big Ben.
Big Ben
just,
won't go anywhere.
I don't agree with that.
I need to spice it up.
Jameis Winston will go to the Miami Dolphins. Ugh. That's where he's going to go.
You think they're going to take him when they're thinking about drafting Tua?
Tua's not going to start right away. I wouldn't start Tua right away.
I would.
I wouldn't do that.
You want Jameis Winston to be his mentor?
Exactly.
Take shots, Tua. Fitzpatrick, but whatever.
Fitzmagic.
Let's go to the draft. Joey Burrow, Bengals. Do I even have to ask?
You don't.
Tua.
Dolphins.
Redskins.
Ooh.
You're insane.
Redskins. I've been hearing a lot. About how the Redskins will take him at two.
If that's the case, I would love to be a guy who would buy on Dwayne Haskins.
I would too. You know, yeah, we're the president of the Dwayne Haskins fan club. Jordan Love.
Where does he go? Somewhere in the second round, like late first round.
You don't think Jordan Love's not going to be a top 20 pick?
No. I think a lot of people are really concerned about like the turnover.
The turnover rate. That's what I keep trying to tell him. He doesn't listen to me.
I think he's probably one of those.
Oh my God.
He's probably no. Sebastian, hear me out. You know how many quarterbacks always go in like that late first round, early second round, especially because teams trade back in.
Right.
I think that's where he falls up. Who is that team? I don't know. I mean, so here,
So you're telling me the Chargers had him at six.
The Chargers? The Chargers would take Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I think they're taking Herbert.
And I don't even know if they would necessarily take
a quarterback.
But anyways, I think you're a lot higher on Jordan Love than the league is.
He's higher on Jordan Love than Jordan Love.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Jordan Love is if you look at the mock drafts out there.
I have, yeah.
Jordan Love's not going at the end of the first round.
But
okay, fine. You know,
why does the turnover rate not concern you?
But
That concerns me. Of course, it's a flaw, but at the same time.
I'll just say Chargers because like the problem is that with this quarterback carousel, there are going to be questions answered on who's going to actually draft a QB and who isn't. That's going to be the big thing, which is usually we kind of know where these are the seven teams, eight teams that need them. With all these guys moving around, it could change that a lot, and so. That's one thing. I'll go with like Steelers or Chargers, like one of those two. Someone who's gonna need a quarterback for the future.
I'm gonna go Indianapolis Colts.
That's not a bad one.
I'm also going with the Steelers. I think he could learn a lot from Big Ben.
So you guys have Herbert with the Chargers?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think they'll do that, but if you tell me most likely, yeah.
I mean, from all the mock drafts,
I think Herbert goes to Miami.
I don't know if that's – they did not tank to get Justin Herbert.
We'll see. We'll see. And I forgot one that's already in the NFL, Ryan Tannehill.
Somewhere. And I actually like Ryan Tannehill. It's just now in my head I'm run out
You've run out of spots.
Yeah.
Literally.
Something my brain has decided to fail.
I know where I'm putting him. You want me to go first?
Yeah. Where are you putting
him? Yeah.
Viva Las Vegas.
You know what?
I was actually going to say that, too.
Yeah.
I swear I was going to say that.
I actually think Derek Carr wouldn't be a bad buy low guy either.
Just throw everybody in Las Vegas.
Let's have a real quarterback here. So everyone who's not sure about their quarterback, just move on from him and go somewhere. That would be interesting. If you just weren't sure about it, you just moved him, you swapped.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was fun. That was a fun, wild game of quarterback carousel. We will likely do this next week once the new Tom Brady rumors come out.
They'll come out tomorrow.
Oh, they'll come out every single day.
I can't wait.
Winners and losers of the NFL Combine. Who stood out to you, Jimmy, in the NFL Combine?
Isaiah Simmons. I mean, we all know he was like an athletic like
4.3.
But I mean, I don't care what position this dude plays. Like it just doesn't matter. There was a point in time where I thought he may be there at 9 for the Jaguars, and even though like linebacker safety isn't their biggest need, I was like, just take the guy.
Right.
He
won't be there.
He's not gonna be there. All right. It's one of those things where he's incredible. He impressed me a lot. You know, Ruggs running the fastest 40-yard dash.
Definitely took me by surprise.
Again, I know you know that I like him.
me as well. My number two receiver in the draft.
I'm trying to think about it. You guys can go. I'll think about any more. But
well, Mekhi Becton did exactly what I predicted here on the Benchwarmers Redemption. He'd wow everyone with his athleticism. And running a 4.94, and now everyone's like, oh, first offensive lineman to go. It's exactly how I called it, and they still haven't seen his technique. His technique is still poor. Now, I will say this. As much as I bash Mekhi Becton, a 4.94 for an offensive lineman, that's still, like, I will give it up to him for that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, I'm going to blast him for that. You should have ran a 5.5 instead. Like, I'm not going to do that,
obviously.
How much
does he weigh? He's like 4, like 3, what, 10 or something like that?
Oh, he's more
than that. 320s?
Here's where I know you don't like him, and I'm not the biggest fan of him either, but here's where I think it starts to get tricky, right? Let me take you back to 2013 in the draft. You know who was the guy who had, like, the best technique, like, best? Oh, there's no way he's going to be bad. Luke Jokel. You know, the guy who was like the project.
You would know that very well.
Really athletic, but you know, he wasn't that good, but he has potential. Who was former tight end? Lane Johnson. I think, you know, it's always tricky. Do we take the guy who has the stuff but maybe his upside isn't that high, or do you take the – because I think a lot of coaches in their heart and heart believe, like, if I get this guy, I can take it. And while it just seems as easy as, oh, well, you know, this guy's a project, here's another guy who was a project, Taron Armstead, you know, another guy who's right. one of the best left tackles.
Right.
There's always examples of it working and not working, and so you never know which one's going to be. And so I know you feel very strongly about it, but when you sit there and say, how can anyone think this? That's why. Carson Wentz. Like, Carson Wentz was a guy drafted pretty much based off of his
potential.
Potential.
No doubt.
One year starting at a Division I B school. And so while I'm all about production and technique and everything like that, I think we do have to understand why teams salivate over guys like that. Because it's just like,
no, I agree with you. I agree with you on that, no doubt.
Yeah.
Anyone stand out to you, Jaden, for the combine?
Jimmy already said it. Ruggs. I mean, everyone knows I'm a huge fan of speed, and the 4.2 really took me off. I didn't think anybody in
4.29.
4.29 really took me off. It really, I really didn't think anybody this draft was gonna run a 4.2. I thought he was gonna stay in the mid 4.3s. I mean, his second was, 4.31 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't think anybody was going to hit the 4.2 mark. Anybody was going to go into the 4.2 mark. He really surprised me. And I've always been a fan of speed just from prior sports myself. No. And I really enjoyed watching him at the combine. Really definitely a sleeper. I wouldn't say he's my second wide receiver. I definitely put him at third. I still like Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb before him. But He's definitely gonna do some good things in the league for sure.
I also like Jonathan Taylor too. I mean, I already really like him in general, but I think he put on a show.
He did. And is he the first running back going?
I think so. And while I'm not a huge fan of taking running backs like top 10, he's not gonna go top 10. So he goes top 15, top 20. He's making like $3 million a year. That's a steal. So I love Jonathan Taylor. There's almost no doubt in my mind he's gonna be really good.
Now, I've heard a lot of, and this guy impressed me, and his stock went up. C.J. Henderson, cornerback out of Florida, he impressed me a lot. I've heard a lot of
future
smoke
Jaguar.
About yeah, the future. Jaguars getting
they,
him at,
they love their
at nine.
Florida,
they love their Florida cornerbacks.
They just love their Florida like players in general. They just take it one every year.
So I was impressed by him. I think Henry Ruggs obviously had a phenomenal combine. Jonathan Taylor, I think Ezra Cleveland is another guy that stood out to me, linebacker who ran a very good 40, but also showed off his coverage ability in drills. That was another player that stood out to me. I think he upgraded his stock. And I'll go another guy in the defensive backfield who I think is extremely underrated, safety out of Minnesota, Antoine Winfield Jr. I think he is extremely well thought of. He's
getting old, man.
Yeah. he's a very good. He loves football. Eats football. Breathes football. Everything football. Obviously, he is the son of the Antoine Winfield. So that doesn't hurt. But Antoine Winfield, he was projected to be like a mid third. He's now projected to go early second due to the combine helping him. So that's another guy.
Safety or corner?
Safety.
Safety. I thought it was a safety. Mm-hmm. All right. There's nothing. The one that makes me feel the most old is Asante Samuel Jr. Because Asante Samuel's not that old. Like that's the one where it's. I think to myself, I pretty much watched like Asante Samuel was drafted in 06.
We watched his whole career.
Yeah, he watched his whole career, and now his. And so that's the one that makes me feel the oldest, to be honest. There's a couple of those, like Patrick Surtain's son is at Alabama, Randy Moss's son being at LSU.
Wish Thaddeus Moss a quick recovery, by the way, having surgery.
Right.
He should be ready by training camp, but we wish him the best for that. All right, let's go to the NBA. Oof. And guess who proved me right yet again last night? The Denver Nuggets. Losing by 16 points to the worst team in the National Basketball Association, the Golden State Warriors. They were up 15, outscored. When they were up 15, they were outscored the rest of the game 66-36.
Wasn't as bad as the Celtics one.
What?
The Celtics blew even bigger lead.
With Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to them later.
Kings almost blew a big
I started with
night,
the Nuggets
too.
Because of this guy right here.
Kings also almost blew a big
Jaden
last night.
Dennis.
Yes, sir.
You still high on the Nuggets?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I mean, if you think about it, you make it seem like no good team has ever lost to a bad team.
No.
You make it seem like this is the first time in history this has happened.
But you want me to rattle off the number of bad losses the Denver Nuggets have?
They also have a lot of good wins.
Exactly. They're also still second in the West.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
so they have so to have
exactly,
a lot of good
wins. And they're not in the Eastern Conference. So.
And the I'll say this. The Rockets are like the extreme example of it where they have a lot of good wins and then they have a lot of losses where you're just like, how the
this
heck?
It's just lost to the Knicks.
Yeah, no, the Rockets, I also think sometimes it's hard. Regular season hard, but yeah, I know your hatred for the Nuggets.
I don't have a hatred for the Nuggets.
Who do you not like? Because no, there has to be a player you don't like on the Nuggets.
No, he definitely doesn't like Jokic.
First off, no, I'm Serbian, so I love Jokic.
I feel like that's why you hate them.
Do you think? Are you one of those like Jokic is out of shape people?
No. He definitely is.
No,
I don't know. He's like third in that game.
You want to know what I don't like about the Denver Nuggets? Their coaching. I've never been, you know this more than anyone, I've never been a Michael Malone fan.
Wait, hold on. Let's think about this. Why doesn't Sebastian like Michael Malone? Well, mostly everything he doesn't like is traced back to Cleveland sports. Michael
that's
Malone.
That's
not
true.
No, that's definitely true.
That's definitely true.
If it's something that Cleveland sports hates, you hate it.
Well, what does Cleveland sports have to hate Mike Malone for?
He was the assistant coach for those LeBron teams the year he...
He had nothing to do with that team.
Yeah. So, Michael Malone, who was the guy who probably should have almost took the Kings to the playoffs and then got fired, and then with the Nuggets had improved their what is it in particular? Like, I don't think Michael Malone's the best coach in the NBA. What do you not like about Michael
Malone?
I don't
think he gets the best out of his roster.
They're second in the West.
How's Michael Porter doing right now?
I mean, but Michael Porter is a huge project.
You see how good Michael Porter Jr. was in high school?
But do you see how long it even took him to come to the NBA?
He didn't play for 2 years, Sebastian.
Exactly.
He didn't play for 2 years.
How good do you want him to be?
He
hasn't even played a full year yet.
Okay. Well, this is his first year.
Can you let him get his legs under him, please?
Let me say this. So he's drafted and developed.
Paul Millsap's doing great, by the way. On career low ever since he go. Jeremy Grant, by the way, doing so good going down. Jokic, I mean, I love Jokic. Don't get me wrong, but is Jokic the top best center in the league right now? No.
But I don't think
he has the talent to be.
Jokic is going to be first team All NBA.
Exactly.
You know
I know.
Yeah, he just because of the Joel Embiid thing.
Yeah.
Do you think they should have a better record than the Lakers and the Bucks?
No.
Then where is it? Where do you think it should be wins wise? Because I'll tell you this: the one thing the Nuggets I think have gotten a lot of.
If we're judging teams based off regular season wins, then that's kind of an issue.
But you just judged them for losing to the Warriors.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Even still, last year.
But here's the deal.
With the Jamal Murray that was 2 years in the league.
Let me ask you this.
They went to the second round of the
playoffs. Clippers or Nuggets? Who's more of a contender, Clippers or Nuggets?
The Clippers.
Okay. Denver has more wins than the Clippers.
But what does that have to
do? But that has nothing to do with
Sebastian. Yes, it does.
No, it does.
1,000%.
But here's the thing. The Clippers have been injured for most of the year.
I don't think you can make a clear case that there's a third team in the West that's clearly above and above. Everyone knows that the teams in the NBA right now that are above the rest for title contention are the three, right? And that happens every single year. But I don't think Michael Malone is the reason for the Nuggets. You know what the Nuggets need? If Michael Porter Jr. becomes a star for them and they can have Jamal Murray... Oh, and all the way, pretty much every dude the Denver Nuggets has drafted, even drafting in later rounds, has went on and become a good player.
Exactly.
Tyler Lydon, great
player.
Oh,
yeah, but also...
You're choosing one player.
Could have had Donovan Mitchell.
They were never going to draft Donovan Mitchell, but that's more of the...
I know they weren't, but just saying they could have.
I mean, yeah, but so could have the Pistons.
Well, look how the Pistons are doing right now.
All
right. We really want to get into the Pistons.
But I'm just
shout out to Alex Baker.
But
love Detroit sports.
But just to end on this, Monte Morris is a guy who went from undrafted to being a one of the best backup point guards in the league.
I will give you that,
like,
1,000%.
The development of a lot of their players. Here's the thing. I'm not saying Michael Malone is a top five coach in the NBA.
But sounds like it.
But no, you're not. You're sitting here thinking
he's like the John Beilein of the West.
Oh, that's harsh to John. I mean, John Beilein's not that bad.
Oh my gosh.
He's not that bad.
I'm sorry. Are the Nuggets players like protesting their own coach? I forgot.
The Cavaliers players, they're protesting that they're doing fundamentals because they stink.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yes.
Even. No.
Yes.
There are certain ways that NBA things are run. Even Miami, who runs like a
military
style.
Oh, we don't want to practice hard. Oh, no. Come on, give me a break. You get to debate about the Nuggets.
John Beilein can do John Beilein can do it the opposite of almost every NBA team.
Oh, he'd fail because it's the Cavaliers. They're a terrible organization.
The problem is
they are a terribly ran organization. It doesn't matter what John Beilein
could have gone to any team. It wouldn't have worked out that way.
Wouldn't have worked at all.
Because if you don't command respect in a lot, like, no, none of these players give a crap what he did at Michigan, right?
Right.
Like, and they shouldn't. This is the NBA. The same thing happened to John Calipari, too. No one cares.
I'm not saying you're wrong about that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Cavaliers, specifically the Cavalier players, have issues with practicing hard when they stink. I don't care how a typical NBA organization is ran. They stink. Yeah. I don't give a, like, I got to calm myself because I was about to say something bad. I don't care what they think. You're 17. They're 17-43.
They should not have. Practicing more. Like, do you really think running suicides is going to help?
I'd rather not have them sit on the couch.
This isn't a high school.
Tristan Thompson going out to nightclubs every single night.
And he plays harder than anyone.
Exactly.
And you're proving my point. Isn't that sad? That he's playing harder than everyone. He's going out to nightclubs every night.
Who cares if he goes out? There's a lot of guys that go out.
Okay.
Tristan Thompson also played, like, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, he played 5 straight seasons in which he played every single game.
You're 1,000% correct. He is Mr. Iron Man.
I'm sorry, but these are.
But you're proving my point by that.
If that's their most valuable player.
Then what is wrong with your team?
First of all, he's not their most valuable player. Kevin Love is. Now,
most definitely.
Why I say this about Kevin
Love?
Well,
in terms of durability.
But as far as like Kevin Love goes.
In terms of trade value, I wouldn't say Kevin Love's the most valuable player.
But he's still the best player. When he shows up, he's their best player. Here's one thing I will say about Kevin Love. He has been extraordinary. Like, he couldn't have been more trade me as much as he wanted to.
Right.
And I get it. He should have publicly said it. I know. But for
it was definitely shown on the court, though.
He has been a bit pouty. I will say that. He has been more than a bit pouty. He should have handled it better. Here's the other thing about John Beilein. This is why he wasn't a good coach. It's not like he's the greatest X and O's guy either.
No.
You know, and so to me, it's
John Beilein's a grit and grind style coach,
which is dumb. Because the Cavs, whatever. We've had this discussion.
But anyways,
there's someone you really hate. There's something you have against the Nuggets. I don't know what it is.
I have nothing against the
Nuggets.
We're going to find it one day.
We're going to zero in on it one day.
You know who I really...
We're going to circle back
to
this
discussion
in February.
You were really mad they let go of Jordan McRae.
Or in March. Oh, Jordan McRae.
You were just like, they let go of my guy, Jordan McRae. How could they?
We will circle back to this in March. I cannot wait. We're going to run the tape. And once the Denver Nuggets fail to disappoint, we'll run the tape back whether you're right or I'm right.
What's the tape going to be?
Yeah.
What is going to be lost in the first or second round, which could easily did we say that? Did the words that come out of our mouth that say the Denver Nuggets are going to go to the Western Conference Finals, did we say that?
No.
Never said that.
I forgot.
So what are we running? Exactly. What are we running a tape back for?
If you think they're the best of the rest in the West.
No. Nobody said that.
You said they're the best of the rest in the West.
No, I didn't.
Not named LA.
No, I did not. I said that outside of the top three.
Outside of LA. In the West.
But
you said the Nuggets were the best.
But they are. We all agree, I think. I mean, maybe you don't agree. I think from 3 to 7, the difference is like minuscule. OKC, you could convince me they could beat any of the other teams in a series if they had to. So we're not sitting here slamming our hands on the table saying, I think you think that Denver is seven in that list, and it's
no,
a
I do not
gap.
Think seven's Denver's seven in that list.
Yeah,
I think they're like I would take Houston over them.
Oh my god,
I would probably put them at four.
What are we arguing for? Like it's not. It's then. The problem is that we all agree that. But you just. But you think they should be. You. How much better do you think? Do you? Okay. Let me ask you this.
I don't. My issue with the Nuggets is how inconsistent they are.
What? A lot of teams are inconsistent.
Not as inconsistent as Denver.
Okay. There's
that
two.
Are on that.
There's literally still. There's two teams in the league. Actually, I'm sorry. There's three teams in the league that are more consistent. The most consistent in the league is right now. It's the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Warriors. Because the Warriors
are so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why aren't the Cavaliers in there then?
The Houston Rockets have more losses to bad teams this entire season than any other team with a winning record in the league.
Yeah.
Now they have the opposite that they've beaten a lot of really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Clippers. The Clippers haven't even been that consistent this year. Now. Consistency for them doesn't matter because come playoff time is what matters. But if you're just looking at consistency,
they've also been injured for most of the season.
And that's the other thing with the Nuggets, too. They've had a lot of injuries and they've thrown guys out there. Now, the only thing, I will give Michael Malone credit for this. He does not play Plumlee and Jokic at the same time as much anymore. I think for what the Nuggets have had to deal with, again, having a lot of injuries this year to be where they are, again, do I think they're the second best team in the West? No. But I think you act like if they had, Greg Popovich is their coach, they'd be competing for a title.
I think they would be.
And I mean, if they had Greg Popovich as
I mean,
their
if
coach,
they had Greg Popovich
they would
as their coach, they would definitely 1, be competing for a title.
No, they wouldn't be better than the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Bucks.
They would be competing for a title if Greg Popovich was their
coach.
Yeah,
they'd be competing.
1,000%.
Should be shooting a
Brad
lot of
Stevens.
Long twos. Well, I'm just kidding. But
have you seen the Spurs evolve, by the way? The Spurs have evolved a little bit.
I know. That's because they've been forced to.
Literally.
Yeah, although they still have
to starting to win some games. Let's switch the topic real quick. Who's going to be the 8th seed in the West?
I said the Grizzlies at one point. I'm actually going to go with the Pelicans. They have the 29th strength of schedule left in the league. I think they'll sneak in. But, hey, you know what we should give a shout-out to? Who's been pulling, like, I think, 8-2 in their last 10?
Sacramento?
Sacramento Kings, baby.
They almost blew it last night, though.
They did.
They was up by 27 at half. They only won by like 6.
It's funny. Like again, I'm not a Luke Walton fan, but they got a lot. He got a lot of crap. They're basically in the exact same place they were last year.
Yeah,
no difference.
With not having sans Marvin Bagley the entire season, and
don't forget about Rashawn Holmes too. Rashawn Holmes has had a big impact on Sacramento.
No, and.
I do want to say I think San Antonio might be 30th on that list in terms of strength of schedule.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
So
I'm going to go with the Spurs in
that last spot. I think they're playing better and they're evolving. And I'm sorry, it's 22 years in a row playoffs.
22.
Yeah. Until they miss, I'm not picking against them. I'm sorry.
The Grizzlies are interesting because I think right now they have a 4-game lead, if I'm not mistaken.
They do over the Trailblazers.
Over the Trailblazers, yeah. And
oh, it might be 3.5. Because the Trailblazers lost their last game.
It's three. Over the Trailblazers, it's 3.5.
Yeah.
But over the Pelicans, I think the Spurs have climbed to 2.5.
All right, what
no, it, no. It, yeah. The Spurs are still.
The Spurs won last night.
I know, but they're still. I think they're still 11th, though.
No, they're not.
They're not.
No, they're not.
But
I'll get a fact check while you guys discuss. The Grizzlies at eight. This is top class radio.
But I will say this: I really think it depends on how long Jaren Jackson's out for.
Offline, our service here is beautiful.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out.
I'll stick with the Pelicans.
Pelicans, Spurs.
I'm going Trailblazers.
Can we talk about Zion really quickly?
Yes, absolutely. He deserves our attention.
Young, you know, first teenager to have, I think now it's like 13 straight 20-point games, and people were saying, well, and all he does is shoot close to the basket. I mean, well, you know what? Just, no one can stop him. I mean, he just, even in their loss last night, he's just bullying guys. Yeah. I mean, there's just, you.
Right.
Really, there's only like two or three guys I've seen who have taken Zion on and like been like, okay, like sit down a little bit. And it's really been LeBron and Giannis. And LeBron, I mean, I felt so bad when they played the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma because he was getting thrown around like a rag doll. And it just he deserves a lot of praise to come back from what he came back from, and he does have like, you know, he literally had to relearn how to walk because I mean his
Right.
His balance and all that kind of stuff was just so off.
Right.
Like, he needed long-term health. He needed to be able to work on his posture and everything like that. But for him to do what he's doing, come in mid-season, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year. But
he's sneaking up there, though.
No, he's not.
He's not. I don't think he's going to win, but he's sneaking higher in the race.
If Zion Williamson wins Rookie, and look, I think Zion's we all love Zion, no doubt. If Zion Williamson wins Rookie of the Year playing the half season, unless John Morant somehow gets hurt, it's a tragedy.
No, I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm saying he's sneaking up higher in the race. It wouldn't
surprise me if he got second or third place votes. Like, this is if he plays pretty much the rest of the year,
he'll get second place.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He's going to get second.
When Joel Embiid won or when he came in second, that was in a really weak year. If that were Zion back then, he would have clearly won.
Right.
Especially if he gets the Pelicans to the playoffs, which the other thing is it's not like he came back and they've had to adjust. They have a winning record since he's come back. And even a guy like Brandon Ingram is like, yeah, I don't care if I'm getting a little bit less numbers. I'm glad that we're winning. And so
right.
they – next year with a full season, I'll be really interested to see what the Pelicans do.
So to complete the fact check, both Jaden and I are wrong. I was wrong. They are 3 games back. Jaden is wrong. They are 10, not 11.
Ah.
So
how many games back are they?
3.
Three.
Oh, okay.
So we're both wrong.
I think Memphis beating the Lakers on Saturday was big because I almost put that in as like an automatic L for them.
I agree.
And
I agree.
So, it'll be interesting. I mean, math is on their side a little bit, but I think now the Lakers being the one seed is huge because them not having to play a team like the Thunder, whoever they play, is going to.
Right.
And so that's likely
a sweep.
Yeah. And now the Lakers at this point, too, are like 7 games up.
Yeah.
So it's just.
I think I want to say 6.5.
I mean, at this point, they almost, like, people talk about rest. It's like, well, they're just going to get rest toward the end of the year.
Right.
So.
I'm worried LeBron's going to rest in Cleveland because that game's toward the end of the year. A lot.
There's no reason to play.
Why? Because they'll win regardless?
Absolutely. Sit AD, Bron, sit the whole starting five.
Now you're a little over-exaggerating
Sit the whole starting
a
five.
A little bit. Final thoughts.
Let somebody else be the head coach for the day. You know what? They should let LeBron be the coach.
For the Lakers?
Yeah. That's, when they play Cleveland.
You've used your final thought. Jimmy, final thought.
I want to hear this.
Actually, you know... Cleveland is so bad. I honestly, and I put this...
Who, the Cavs?
Yeah. Cleveland is so bad. Honestly, in my mind, I think they should let Dwight Howard be the head coach for the game.
I think they should let JaVale McGee run point guard.
They should do that, too.
Talking a lot, even though we went into San Antonio and beat y'all, that's... I know we're not good, but
okay. I mean, neither is San Antonio.
This is the saddest trash talk I've ever heard in my life.
Neither is San Antonio.
What a waste of time! All right, okay.
I just want to say one thing. The Jaguars have drafted 3 guys who are probably by far and away the most talented.
Yes,
guys
we forgot drafted. About talk about the yeah, Jaguars. That can be your final thought.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about that. They drafted 3 guys who. By far and away, the most talented guys they've drafted since Dave Caldwell has been there. It's Allen Robinson, Jalen Ramsey, and Yannick Ngakoue. And there's a more than better chance that all 3 of them are gone now.
Saying that you're the Cavaliers of the NFL.
Bad organizations stay bad. And the thing is, with all players, they all had chances to extend them and re-sign them. And at the point in time, they didn't. How much of that is Tom Coughlin? Well... Jalen Ramsey seems to think a lot of it's Tom Coughlin, and apparently, you know, he stopped negotiations with Ngakoue last year too. So it just frustrates me, and they're going to continue to be really bad.
My final thought. I love you, Mike Malone. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me today are
Jaden Dennis
and Jimmy Seaman.
And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.